Good morning. We're back. The year for me, I feel like this year, it feels like it's not really kicking off until this morning. I haven't preached in 6 weeks and had to remind myself how to write a sermon this week, so we'll see how we go. Yes, hello. I love you. Have fun at Kids Church. Hey, I'm excited to be here this morning. I'm going to reflect a little bit more on Partnership Sunday towards the end of the chat this morning. But we had a great time last night. Jandy and I and the kids were out at the Young Adult launch, which was awesome. Maddie and the team did a great job. It was a really great time of connection and community. Young Adult kind of space launching for the year. Heaps of social opportunities and connection stuff coming up in that space. Got to speak into Home Connects as well. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in that space. And I just want to extend again, we've been beating the drum on this Connection Morning Tea, but we just recognise that there's increased foot traffic in this room every week, and that can make it harder to find connection and have deep conversations. And so while we have some RSVPs for that, I think if you're concerned that you're going to be the only one in there, there's going to be almost 30 of us, and so you definitely won't be alone if you decide to come along this morning. We have intentionally overcated, expecting that there might be some fresh faces in the room. And so if you want to stick your head in and say g'day at the Connection Morning Tea after things this morning, let's make your way to the Kids Church room and we'll all be in there. We'd love to say g'day, hear your story, and find out what God's been doing in your life and how you've ended up here at Outlook. But this morning is Partnership Sunday, which is a bit of a legacy Sunday in the context of Outlook Christian Church and the community here. And I wanted to start out, I've still got rugby stories left even after 12 months. And so we're starting out with one of my reflections from playing rugby growing up, more so kind of the back end as the stakes of the games got higher. We as a team, when I was playing at school, we're obviously doing class together every week, every day. And so you're sitting alongside the same guys that you're playing with when Saturday would roll around. We had our kind of team usual warm-up process. We had all the same mobility routines and all that kind of stuff that would get us warmed up for the game. And as the year went on, we'd been playing together, this particular team that I was in, for a good couple of years. And we had a bit of a pre-game ritual or process, I guess, that was really settling as I kind of reflect and look back. The way that the school season shaped up is you'd only play the guys once a year. And so there'd be 12 months in between seeing the same team, and there'd always be speculation and conversation. Oh, I wonder, you know, that guy last year was so fast. I wonder if he's gotten quicker, or man, getting tackled by this guy last year just hurt. I wonder if he's put on a bit more weight and carries a little bit more oomph. And there was just this real unknown coming into the games. And we would go through our normal warm-up routine, and that would see us end up in our locker room together as a team, where all of the noise and all of the hustle and the bustle of the pre-game warm-up stuff would really settle. And we'd kind of each have our spot in the locker room, and everyone would kind of shift to just this really odd, not awkward, but just piercing silence to an extent as everyone's just reflecting on the role that they've got to play that morning. And we would go through a prayer circle. We would have a couple of different things that we would speak into, different responsibilities for the game. And we would end every pre-game routine going through the same process, which is where I've reflected on this coming into Partnership Sunday, where we'd finish our prayer circle and there'd be a whole group of guys starting the school war cry, and that was kind of the indicator that we were ready to come out, and you'd run through a tunnel and go and meet the other team on the field. And when we heard that war cry, as a team, as a whole unit, everyone would kind of rise up from where they were, and we would walk around the locker room, and you'd walk up and shake hands with every player on the team. And you just look them in the eye and you just repeat the phrase, "I commit, I commit, I commit today." And it was a really small, simple thing where as we reflected on just the opportunity that we had to do life together outside of rugby, and then you come together on the field wearing your school colours and you're playing alongside these guys that become brothers, that simple phrase, "I commit," or "I commit today," it settled all of the unknowns. It settled all of the expectations of what was to come for the next 80 minutes. And it was this real picture of partnership for me as I look back going, when you're saying I commit to the guy across from you and he's saying I commit to you, you just know that when you walk out onto that field that he's got your back, and that we're all going to do our role, we're all going to do our job, and we're all going to play our part as a team. And so where you could feel this real sense of personal ownership and responsibility, just completely disarmed that. And it was this really simple reminder, this real picture of partnership that we were in it together as a team. And so we're going to be looking at partnership this morning, and I'll unpack that in a little bit more detail towards the end of things. But I want to put to us as a community this morning, as the community of Outlook, that partnership is essential as we seek to participate in the plans and the purposes of God. And there's no one text this morning. In reality, the way that things would break down this morning, different text this morning, but we're going to be looking across Acts and a number of Paul's epistles that he writes to New Testament churches and seeing what they might have to say about partnership. And as I reflect, ministry was never meant to be a solo act. From the beginning, it appears that God seeks to work in partnership with his people to accomplish his purposes. We see in Genesis that he gives Adam and Eve the mandate to steward creation together. Later, he calls Abraham and makes him the father of a great nation. And all across the Old Testament, we see God appoint prophets, priests, and kings to represent him. They minister in partnership with God to see his plans and purposes achieved. Even in the coming of Jesus, God in the flesh, Jesus doesn't minister alone. Instead, calling 12 disciples to share in his mission, working in partnership with him and each other. And these pictures of partnership continue well into the New Testament when we see the birth and development of the church. Most notably, I think, in the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In both Romans and 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us the imagery of the body of Christ, with every part working in partnership with the others. And I think despite the narrative of our modern individualistic culture pressing us on all sides, following Jesus and participating in his plans and purposes was never meant to happen in isolation. Even Paul, undoubtedly one of the most influential leaders in church history, did not work alone. He understood that the establishment of God's kingdom on earth would require partnership with others. His life is a picture of partnerships with, to use his words, fellow laborers, co-workers, soldiers, and brothers and sisters in Christ working together towards one end, which was the establishment of God's kingdom on earth. Scripture makes it clear, at least from my reading, that Paul valued, relied on, and invested in others, not as an afterthought, but as an intentional and essential practice of his ministry. And so today, we explore Paul's approach to partnership in ministry and how it should shape our work together as we seek to participate in the plans and purposes of God as a community here. Would you pray with me before we dive in? God, we recognize that you are indeed in our midst this morning, that your heart from the very beginning has been to work in partnership with your people and for us to work in partnership with you and one another. So as we reflect on your word this morning, as we open your word together, God, I pray that your word would read us, would read the areas of our lives where we're pushing back on being found in community, where we're pushing back on trying to do things alone, and that you do a work in our midst this morning, that you unify us as a group, working together as we participate in your plans and your purposes on earth. Thank you for your presence, your nearness, and your closeness. Continue to meet us, I pray, as we gather, as we open your word, and as we connect in community. God, would it all be glorifying and honoring to you and to your name. Amen. First place we're going to dive into is Romans 16. And this is a somewhat of a famous chapter across the book of Romans, really across all of Scripture, where Paul is writing to the church in Rome here. And he concludes this letter with an extensive list of names: Priscilla and Aquila, Andronicus, Phoebe, Mary, and Junia, just to mention a few. In total here, Paul acknowledges 28 different men and women equally as fellow laborers in the message and the mission of Jesus. And I think this shows us that people working together is vital to the mission of the church. This is really more than a list of just names. I think it's a testament to how ministry thrives in the context of a community partnered together. And as I reflect on that, I think ministry is about more than activity. Here, the lesson is that partnership is essential as we seek to participate in the message and mission of Jesus. And as we partner, we should actively seek to honor and recognize those we minister with. If we look at Acts chapters 13 and 14, there's a picture of partnership in the context of community. In Acts 13, we see that the people of God, the early church, are gathered together and they're worshiping. They're praying, they're fasting, seeking direction and vision from God on what's next for them. And as they gather, Holy Spirit speaks and he calls for Barnabas and Saul, who we know later becomes Paul, to be set apart for work, for ministry. And it's here in the context of community that he calls them, not individually, but calls them again as partners. And we see from this point forward, as we read through the rest of Acts, that it's Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas and Paul, they're working in partnership together. And it's here again in the context of community that the people of God, in another picture of partnership, continue to fast and pray together, ultimately laying their hands on the two men, sending them out to minister. In just a few short verses, we have three pictures of partnership. God speaks, partnering with his people to achieve his purposes. Barnabas and Saul partner with one another in the work of ministry, and the community of God partner with him and each other to send both of the men out. And then if we continue to read into chapter 14, as they traveled, as they preached, and as they planted churches, others would ultimately join them. I think the model was clear, that ministry in the local church was never meant to be an individual act. The power of partnership in the early church allowed the message and the mission of Jesus to reach more people. Healthy churches are not built by the efforts or personality of one person, but by the partnership of an entire community. And so as we look around and reflect this morning, this is the group. These are the faces and the names of the people that we're building with and that we're in partnership with. If we continue to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 to 9, we'll make these slides available in the newsletter so you can do a deeper dive on these passages during the week if you wish. We see another picture of partnership where everyone has a part to play. Paul writes this: I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow, describing himself and Apollos as co-workers in the service of God. And the entire New Testament really offers us a picture of partnership where different people play different roles in the work of ministry, but it was all part of the same mission. This is the same letter where Paul goes on a little bit later to offer a picture of the body of Christ. And I think we would know, or at least have experienced at some level, when partnered together, the body is diverse in its gifts and its parts, but it offers a fuller picture of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Paul understood that everyone has a role to play and no one is insignificant. I think true partnership challenges competition and comparison in us. As partners, we can actually celebrate each other's gifts and contributions, recognizing that ultimately it's God who brings the increase. As we get to Philippians 2, specifically 19 to 30, we see another picture of partnership where everybody is empowered to minister. Paul describes Timothy in this letter as his brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. He trusts Timothy to carry on the work of ministry in his absence, I think revealing a true dependency on others. Paul didn't just recognize the potential contribution of others, he actually empowered them by releasing them to minister. His ministry was not about building his own reputation, it was about raising up faithful men and women who could contribute beyond what he could have ever achieved alone. Partnership, true partnership, requires empowering, trusting, and releasing each other into the work of ministry. Our responsibility isn't to control the outcome or to seek to make room for ourselves. As we make room for each other, God controls the outcomes. In both 2 Timothy 4:11 and Colossians 4:10, we see another picture of partnership that I've labeled as committed or commitment to the journey. Throwing our minds back to Acts 15, there's a moment where John Mark, one of the voices who joined Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journeys, left. It caused a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas, resulting in their separation and their ministering separate from one another. Paul's passion perhaps gets the better of him for a brief moment here. And he can see no value in continuing to minister with John Mark. And yet, we see later in Paul's life and ministry that he writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:11, and he says this, "Get Mark and bring him with you." Why? Because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I think this is a great glimpse into the heart of Paul here for restoration and reconciliation in ministry relationships. People grow, they change, and they mature, and we need to make room for them to grow and even be restored as we partner together. Partnership, I think, requires committing to an unending discipleship journey together, ministering grace and seeking restoration with one another as a true picture of mature discipleship and mature partnership. Again, in 2 Timothy, going to chapter 2, verse 2 this time, there's another picture of partnership, partnering for the future. Paul again writes to Timothy, "The things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." Paul's ministry, I think, was marked not by a goal to gather followers to himself, but instead to raise up leaders who would lead others to Jesus. And his ministry wasn't effective because of what he could achieve on his own, but in how he managed to multiply the message and the mission of Jesus in other people. And we know contextually that he's writing here to Timothy, a young leader who was continuing Paul's work in the church at Ephesus. And what's his encouragement to Timothy? "Make sure you partner with others the same way I partnered with you." Partnership requires an ongoing commitment to investing in the next generation. Coming back to Philippians, chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, there's another picture of partnership, financial partnership this time. Contextually, Paul's writing to the church here, and he's thanking them, praising them for their generosity, calling them partners in the gospel through their financial giving. And I think a fuller picture of partnership emerges here when we recognize that even across the early church, some partnered in ministry through preaching and traveling, some through hospitality and open homes, and others partnered simply through their financial support. Financial partnership, as we talk about often in the local church, is a genuine and vital part, I think, of our participation in God's mission on earth. We should see the unifying of our collective resources as a means of participating in God's work together. In Galatians 6, 2, there's another picture of partnership, our final one for this morning. Paul writes, encouraging the believers in the church in Galatia, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." Really simply, I think as we partner together in ministry, it's not just about working together. Partnership implies supporting one another, not just in ministry, but in all the realities of life. Partnership is about more than ministering to God's world. It's also about ministering to one another. And so as we start to conclude and shift gears to maybe some of the more pragmatic elements to partnership here, discussing embracing our call to partnership as the people of God. There's a number of people back in Brisbane that we'd been doing life with for over a decade. And there's a particular leader that we know of, that some of us have served under and done life with, who recently resigned from their role, their ministry role. After over two decades in this ministry role, there's a big gap that's been left and a lot of conversation that's taking place. And just as a group, we've all been reflecting on our experiences of their ministry, reflecting on what it was like to serve and just be part of what they had given their life to. And almost every time that we've reflected, the question or at least the topic of conversation of legacy has come up. Over 2 decades in the same place, serving God. The amount of lives touched completely unknown, at least on this side of heaven. And this idea of legacy has just been a real point of conversation for us where we've reflected on, well, I think their legacy looks like this and I think part of their legacy looks like this. And it's quite a timely reflection, I think, as we talk about partnership this morning. That I think Paul's legacy, and I don't have much to contribute here to the life of Paul. They're a far more intelligent, academically inclined, and frankly, far more qualified, eloquent voices to contribute, and they have already done so. But my reflection in the context of Partnership Sunday for us, as humbly as I can bring this, is that I think Paul's legacy is not that he did everything alone. And yet in the culture that we live in, churches are crumbling because leaders are doing things alone, because we have somehow glorified and celebrated the grind and the hustle and building something big and success looking like full seats. And I think we miss the entire point of Paul's legacy and his approach to ministry when we do that. His legacy is not that he did everything alone. It's that his value for partnership was so great, it resulted in building a community of those who were partners in ministry, genuinely carrying the message and the mission of Jesus forward beyond anything any one of them could have achieved alone. If we desire to be part of a healthy and fruitful church, which I pray is all of our prayers, if we desire to be effective in our efforts to see God's kingdom established in Toowoomba as it is in heaven, our only option is to embrace the same approach. We need one another. For better, for worse. Sometimes it is for worse, and there's sharp edges and things that we have to contend with and process through. But the approach of Paul would be lean into the discipleship journey. Love somebody enough to have a hard conversation. And for the better, where we get to embrace the fullness and the diversity of the body of Christ gathered together. Truly partnering, not for our own sake, not for the sake of a church name, not for the sake of even this community, but for the sake of a city and for the sake of the message and the mission of Jesus. And I know we have diverse backgrounds across the room. The idea of membership or partnership in the local church is a foreign concept, I know, to some people, even in the room this morning. And so I would be remiss not to lean in a little bit here. Depending on your church background, you might have heard language of becoming a member. This is more the pragmatic side here. Membership in a local Baptist church, at least, is a pragmatic thing. It serves a real logistical purpose. With the way that we're structured as not-for-profits, as local churches, there's a requirement that we have a group of people called members who have a governance responsibility role in the context of the local church. And so there's a number of things in our environment here that cannot take place without the approval or the say-so of the group of partners in ministry here. Things like our budget that we gather to reflect on and approve at the end of the year. Things like the staff appointment of a senior pastor. Things like board member nominations. A whole host of other things that you can find in our constitution. And if you come along to Pathways 1.0, we run through that in a little bit more detail. There's a real pragmatic side to this. And there was a decision made 15 years ago this year when Outlook first arrived on the scene, so to speak, as a local church. A strategic, intentional decision that the word member would not be used, but instead partner. Because there was a unified feeling that membership implies the organization, the community, whatever you're part of as a member, it exists to serve you. And that was not something that was a desire of the community, the original planting group here. The desire was partnership. The desire was that as partners, this place, this community, this church, this organization, whatever language you want to use, it does not exist to serve us. This is God's church. This is Christ's church, and we exist to serve him and his mission. And we don't do it as members. We do it as partners. And so there's a difference in language there. The function is the same, but symbolically, I think there's so much more weight. 15 years of history of a group of people partnering together in ministry that we would all be here this morning. And I reflected last year, I can, same as anybody, be quite a cynic at times on different things. And last year was our first partnership Sunday as a family. And I shared this, and I'm going to share it again, that I was reflecting on, you know, there's obviously that pragmatic side that I talked about, and then there's the symbolism over here. And if we're not holding those two things in tension, we don't really need a partnership Sunday. We can just send out an email, you can click a link, and you can go, I'm renewing my partnership. We meet the minimum number of people that we need to be able to function legally and meet all of our compliance regulations, and then we turn up next week and everything will just run. And that could just happen. But for 15 years, as far as I understand it, this considered decision of partnership has been an annual rhythm of the community because of exactly that. It's a considered decision. You could not walk out of those doors and throw a rock and not hit a church somewhere in Toowoomba. And if we're being real for a moment, because I think we have to be, none of us have to be here. Outlook Christian Church does not have to be the place that we gather. And yet, week in, week out, we turn up here. And we choose to be found in community here. Many of us choose to financially partner here. And we don't always get it right, and there's disagreement, and there's ups, and there's downs. But the considered decision of this annual rhythm of partnership, the more I reflect on it, the more compelling it becomes to me. Because there's the pragmatic side that we know we will meet that. There's going to be a QR code in a minute, and before we walk out of these doors, we will have the partnership numbers that we need. And we'll gather next week, and everything will be normal and fine. But even if we didn't, the symbolism of what this decision reflects and means is it's a decision to say, as a partner here in ministry, I want to take ownership of, I want to take responsibility for, I want to participate in, and I want to contribute to whatever it is that God is doing here and whatever it is that He desires to do. And the reality is any one of us could do that at any church in Toowoomba. But it's the considered decision to say, I am in, I commit to another year of ministry here. I'm going to call on a few volunteers here in a minute. I was not planning on doing this, but there are pictures of partnership all over this room and in this community every week. And I'm using another rugby analogy, so please go with me. And I promise this will be the last one for the day. Not for the year, though. I don't know how to explain the rules of this. There's something in rugby called a ruck. Basically, if I'm the ball carrier, I have the ball, I get tackled, I go down, and I place the ball back to my team. That's a ruck. Now, the rest of my teammates at that point want to do everything they possibly can to stop the other team from getting the ball. And so across multiple different rugby teams, people use different language and approach things differently, but the end result is the same. If this preaching lectern is the ruck, please go with me on this. And I'm playing defense. The other team's placed the ball back towards the back of the room. I have a responsibility at that point to play my part and commit to a role of defense. And so the language that we used in our team was we called them channels. And so there was different channels that different runners would attempt to break the line. And so if I got to the ruck first and the ball had been secured playing defense, I would come up and I would say, I've got one. And then my teammate would come and say, I've got two. And then someone else would come and say, I've got three. And so on and so forth, until we knew that every runner was marked off and every potential channel was covered. And if I throw all the way back to that I commit story at the start, when I get there and I say, I've got one, my teammate who's got one on that side of the ruck and my teammate who says, I've got two, they're not questioning whether or not I'm going to do my job. That's how you get breaks in the line where somebody thinks that you're not going to make the tackle. They come and try to make it and there's an open gap, which is how the Wallabies play far too often. Send help. But can you see where I'm going with this? Hopefully. That there are pictures of partnership in our community that if this is the ruck, then this is where the volunteers come in. Liam comes up and he says, I've got one on a Friday night. The young people, the youth of this church, I've got one. I've got this. And behind him is a whole team of people that take ownership, responsibility for, contribute to, and participate in ministry. And thank goodness for Liam, because so many of us would not want to be there on a Friday night. We'll pray. But thank goodness for that team. And then Kathy comes and says, I've got one. I'll put my hand up to serve on the board. and take governance responsibility to make sure that there's accountability and health in this community. And she's joined by Warwick and Paul, Louisa last year. And then Patrick comes and says, I've got two. I can play drums, I can play keys, I can do everything because I'm Patrick. And he does. Find him in kids, find him in youth, find him everywhere. But Patrick says, I've got two. Then Jandy comes and says, I've got three. Every Monday, we'll gather parents, we'll gather carers, and we'll go and hang out at a park, and we'll make sure that mums and carers can be found in community and have the opportunity to connect. And then all the way over here, John and Lynn come and say, I've got three. I'll make sure that coffee is done every week. I'll roster people on, we'll serve and we'll commit, and we'll make sure that there's a culture of hospitality. And then you come over here and someone else says, I've got four. And Maddie puts her hand up to serve in young adults and make sure that Home Connects run and there's opportunities to be found in community. Then someone comes on this side and says, I've got five. I'll lead a Home Connect and make sure that discipleship is happening. And all the while, as we focus on the roles and the responsibilities that we have, as we partner together in ministry, we transition away from this secular, this consumeristic mentality in the local church, that this place exists for us, and our worship shifts and changes because we recognize who we're serving and who we're in partnership with before we serve with one another. We go back to Genesis and we recognize the call that is on our lives to see the kingdom of God advanced, and we keep the main things the main things. And so the cynic in me says, scan the QR code this morning and let's just go. There's stuff to do. But the pastor in me thankfully wins out on that and says, hey, this is a considered decision. To scan that QR code this morning as a renewing partner is to commit again to saying, I've got one. And I know that somebody else has two and someone else has three, but there's a gap at four right now. And so you might be the person in the room this morning that fills the gap of four and says, I've been gathering and I've been founding community here, but I want to take a next step. This whole symbolism thing, I'm in. And there's a QR code for you to scan. Hopefully the headings make sense. New or interested. You can scan that. That'll take you to the registration form for what Maddie was talking about before, Pathways 1.0, where we run through just the history of the church, just the heart behind culture and community here. And the reality is we know that as we seek to see God's kingdom established here in our midst, there's going to be people that buy in and there's going to be people that opt out, and that's okay. We will see each other at the end, and it's going to be glorious and it's going to be beautiful because there's expressions of the kingdom of God all over this city. There's diversity and there's health. We're trying to be obedient to what we feel like God is saying to us as a community. And so the opportunity is there for us this morning to scan one of these codes, even to express interest in what it actually practically, tangibly looks like to commit to partnership here at Outlook. Worship team, you guys can jump up. Thank you for your leadership this morning. I'm so far off my notes right now. I'm sorry. I need a moment. I got a little bit excited. I'll finish with this. I'll say again, the considered decision of partnership this morning. It's to say, I will take ownership of, I will take responsibility for, I will participate in, and I will contribute to what it is that God is doing right now in this community and what it is that He desires to do. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that from the beginning, you have made partnership possible. That I think you clearly in your word, you lay out how you desire and seek for us to approach ministering with you and with one another. And we recognize the opportunity that is before us this morning to commit to another year of ministry together with you and with one another. God, we know that the best days of your church are ahead. You are returning for a glorious glorious and spotless bride. And it's our desire as your people here that we would be that bride, that we would play our part, that we would contribute what we have and what you've called us to as the people of Outlook, to your message, to your mission, to your plans, and to your purposes. Would we find ourselves completely caught up in your will and your ways this year? Thank you for your leadership, the way that you bring us forward with absolute faithfulness at every step of the way. Thank you for the partnership represented across this room. A group of unique and diverse people committed to the same mission and to the same message. The only true hope left in this world. Catch us up in what you're doing. Catch us up in where you're leading us. And as we commit to partnership together, God, thank you that we get to be found in community, worshiping you, honoring you, glorifying you. It's all you, Jesus. Amen. Like I said, there's an opportunity to scan those codes. They'll pop back up after worship this morning. Please come along to the Connection Morning Tea, hang around, and what a chance, what a great time gathered together this morning as we get to commit to this. And so let's worship together.